Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Good evening, everybody. Good night, even. And I hope you're all having a fantastic Wednesday, the 21st of September in the year of our Lord, 2022. It's been a long time since we've been speaking to you. Last time I was speaking to you, I was sitting on the wet ground in Galway trying to do a post-match review of Aston Villa and Southampton. But I'm delighted tonight to have Paddy back. And we're going to go through a couple of things. We're obviously going to talk about some of the most recent developments. There's been an injury bug has bitten. We might do a small bit of a talk back on what Paddy felt about the about certain aspects of the Southampton game. But before we do that, I want to start off on a massively positive note, because the Aston Villa women's team, like, what a game that was at the weekend. It was just fantastic to go 2-0 up against Man City, lose that 2-0 lead and go 3-2 down, and then have the fortitude to be able to come back again and win 4-3 is just excellent. Like, that Man City team is really, really, really good team. I don't think anyone needs to tell anybody that. But the Aston Villa new signings had really stood up to the plate, as did the old guard as well. And what a great and fantastic win that is.
Yes, and my only gripe is that I missed the bloody thing. I was too busy to watch it. And for some reason, you can't play the women's games back on the Aston Villa app for some, because I settled down to watch it last night and I couldn't, but got to see the highlights. I was a bit critical last year of our play in the final third. Some of those goals were amazing, absolutely amazing. So yeah, hats off to Carla Ward. She is definitely assembling a decent team there, and there's no reason why they can't push on and do a whole lot better this year.
Absolutely, and I think one of the things that kind of struck me was the new recruits that have come in there, like Mackenzie Daly, who's their new recruit, and then Rachel Daly come from Houston Dash. I'm not going to sit here and say that I know a whole pile about the women's game. I'm not going to rewrite history and gaslight anybody with regards to that, but I do know that they're new additions to the team, and that when you see those new guys come in and hit the ground running in such a massively high profile game like that, well, you know, you have to have good outlook for the rest of the season as well. And winning at home, no matter who you beat at home, is a good win. And to beat a team of the caliber of Manchester City,
exactly. And winning at home in front of 6,000 plus fans of Villa Park is amazing. We haven't had a great record at Villa Park. We lost the Blues there the last time out. Like, I've watched a lot of the women's game over the last 2 years because of lockdowns and not having anywhere to travel to or anything to do. Ironically, when I had something to do, I missed the game this weekend. But it's like, if you put Aston Villa shorts on four-year-old kids and let them play in the park, I'll go and pay money to watch them because they're wearing Villa kits. That's just the way I am. So regardless of what your thoughts are on the women's game, I find it very enjoyable to watch. It's come on leaps and bounds. They're technically a million times better when you go back to the time of the Aztecs and even 5 years ago.
Lancaster Bells and those.
Yeah, all those people. So, look, we're on the up. We're a team on the up. We're a club on the up. Hopefully, they can push on and be well clear that they can challenge up near the top. Like, you can stay up in that division with 10 points, which is a bit of a disaster, but the fact that only one team goes down takes the pressure off, and maybe that'll change in time to come. Maybe there's scope there to make it a Super League of maybe 15 or 16 teams and make it that little bit more intense and have more games played.
Yeah, and I think, look, it's little by little, because, you know, we know within the League of Ireland here, you know, all intentions can be great, and you can create a Premier League and a second division, so on, and so on. You know, you can create a structure for the teams, but we know only too well that, you know, it all relies on finance. And yes, teams are being financed. Aston Villa are hopefully going to get even more finance as the years go on. We know United have had a big injection. Arsenal have always been there. Liverpool have been promoted in recent years as well. And obviously the traditional big teams there, like Chelsea, Man City, all those guys that have been up there. It's going to be all about financing going on. The best thing that could have happened to the Women's Super League is obviously what happened recently with England at international level as well. So 12 teams, I think, is probably the right number for it at the moment. But over time, the scope should be there to build this, as, you know, if they're getting 6,000 in through the gates, even if they're only getting 6,000 in through the gates for 20% of the matches over the course of the season, that's a huge amount. Like, even in the League of Ireland here, or in the men's game here in the League of Ireland, there are clubs that don't get 6,000 in through the gate. They might get 6,000 in through the gate cumulatively over the course of the whole season.
The reason I missed this game is because I was at a League of Ireland game, and it was a derby game, and it was sold out, and I think about 3,900 was all that could fit into the stadium, which, you know, is a sad reflection on the League of Ireland and the state of the stadiums, really, more than anything else. But, you know, the money that can be generated from the game, if it's run correctly and clubs invest in it, because look, I think promoting the game from Premier League level up is important for women. You may have seen, I've had a flag up here in the past. It's important, especially with the whole obesity problem, that we allow our kids to go and play football and be included, regardless of their sex. So, yeah, it's really, really important.
Absolutely, absolutely. And long may it continue. And there is an Aston Villa Women's Supporters Club podcast out there as well that focuses on the women's game. We did toy with the idea of maybe doing a dedicated podcast, but look, I suppose it's important as well not to mansplain these things too, you know, and not to just jump on the bandwagon. And look, you know, we can't get access to a lot of the games, and we don't want to spoof it either. It doesn't deserve that. It's a spectacle in itself. So I have no problem pointing you guys in the direction of podcasts that will be able to cover it in more depth. And what I listened to was the Aston Villa Women Supporters Club podcast. You'll be able to find it on Twitter. And also, I think the guys that Gather Around the Lamp used to do a podcast as well, with regards to the women's game. So it deserves all our support, just like any other club or team that wear the Aston Villa badge. And coming to towards the men's team, Paddy. Men's team, obviously, last Friday night. We won't spend too much time on this because it's old news at this stage. Men's team on Friday night pulled out a 1-0 win against Southampton. For me, it's very much a case of, doesn't matter how dull the gold is, it's still gold at the end of the day. You know, you can always try and polish it up at a later date, but for me, it was very much something that we found in the back of the cupboard when we were looking for it, and it's going to need a small bit of work as the weeks go on. But a win is a win, Paddy. What was your views on it, and when you were watching it?
Well, I'll take you back a week earlier. I think I'm still very disappointed that we didn't get to play Leicester when they were at their lowest ebb. And let's face it, they are at their lowest ebb. We're not going to get Leicester in a worse position than that again this season. Mm. And we're not going to probably play them until the new year anyway. So it's just our luck.
7th of January, it's looking like, yeah, it's next available
so
week.
We will, we'll just have to reserve judgment on that one. But it just shows our luck, because, you know, if we'd have got that result against Man City, beaten Leicester, beaten Southampton, the league is looking a whole lot prettier. We're higher up, we're safe, people are looking at it a bit differently. So people are looking at the game differently because of that. So because we're stuck on 7 points from seven games, isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
So that's staying up form. That's what it is. That's all it is staying up form, a point a game. So from my point of view, did I enjoy the game? No, I didn't. First half was okay. I thought we got very sloppy in midfield after Kamara went off. But as you say, if we can win ugly and win ugly 15 times and then win pretty 5 or 6 times, we're looking at European places. And that's the moral of the story. So if you tell me we're going to win ugly 15 times and win pretty 6 times, I'd be very happy with that.
Oh, 100%. And we can critique the style all we want, absolutely. And that is what we absolutely will do. But, I'm going to be really honest, you look at it, Brighton were dour at times last season, absolutely dour. Mm. And they were grinding out draws and they were maybe sneaking a win here and there. You look at Brighton, I don't know, did they have something like 15 draws last season? And, you know, that's 15 points, obviously. We would have killed for 10 draws last season. 10 draws last season would have catapulted us up the league, you know. So it's very much a case of trying to set a platform for this team and then for the build. So
let's be honest, Neil.
The style was poor. Like.
To win ugly, we need to be winning ugly against the teams who are in around those European places. Not the likes of Southampton. Not the likes of Everton. Not the likes of... I'm just trying to look at it from other people's eyes because other people are obviously pissed off at the performance.
Look at it through your own eyes.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. I'm playing through devil's advocate here. But look, John Steele says that Southampton performance is the worst I've ever seen. Villa performance was a close second.
No, it's not the worst I've ever seen. Good God, no.
I've seen worse. I've seen a lot worse than that.
Absolutely. Remy Gard, that season was turgid. But no, I know what you mean. And you know what the big point about the big thing that John said there was, I'm still worried at the end. And you absolutely have to be, because it's not like we're rehabilitating Steven Gerrard after winning a draw. That's absolutely not the case. He's still on a hot seat. He still needs to produce. I'm just happy that we're winning, that we're getting points when we're still in this area of uncertainty, I suppose, whether... You know, can he do it or can he not do it? Because I think you're a lot more, you're a lot more of a prospect, you know, if you have a basis of points there, then you are, because you start becoming Pulis territory, you know, if you're rock bottom and if you're anchored down there, you start becoming Big Sam territory then. So I think that if we can get some sort of bedrock and if it still isn't working out, then, you know, you're a better prospect, I think, for teams. Yeah. I definitely think. And look, we're going to talk about another reason why we should be worried as well in a minute, I think, because it's definitely one of the things that should worry people, I think, in a way. And to be honest with you, while we blame tactics, we blame formations, we blame maybe not digging into the transfer market a small bit too much at times, or a small bit at times, should I say, I don't think we can put any blame on either of these two players' injuries down to anything other than just bad luck, I think. I know there will be people out there that will 100% blame, oh, the coaching staff are putting too much pressure on them, oh, and all this kind of stuff. That's fine. If you want to do that, bring me evidence. That's what I would say in that instance.
It's not pressure that caused that injury. It was just a complete... Nah. Extension of the knee in that situation where somebody is fully committed and they couldn't fully get there. So you're unfortunately, if he doesn't go for it, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. He had to make some attempt to play the ball.
And we're talking about Boubacar Kamara here, about Boubacar Kamara's knee injury, which hasn't been fully confirmed the extent of it by the club, which is the
worrying thing, Neil, because. You know, it's quite obvious that he must have been scanned at this stage. So what are we, 4 or 5 days on at this stage? You can be sure it was scanned Sunday or Monday. No official word on what it is. And then worryingly, we got the news yesterday that We'll get on to Luca Dean in a moment.
But I'm just trying to think, Paddy. Remember towards the end of last season, didn't Villa do something similar? They never disclosed what happened to Luca Dean. And then it was presumed it was a dislocated shoulder. And they put up this big get well soon, Luca Dean post on Twitter. And then he was back playing 2 weeks later. Do you remember that? It was an extraordinary situation because it was it was almost confirmed that it was a dislocated shoulder or broken shoulder or something. I can't remember the exact thing for it. But like they were looking at maybe 12 weeks out, you know, end of season job. He's back playing 2 weeks later. I'm just wondering, are the club getting second opinions on it? Because Ben Dinery, whatever his name is, he analyzes injuries based off video or whatever it is. And he seems to think that it's an MCL injury. And when you look at it, MCL injuries could be anything from eight days to 8 weeks. Now, obviously, if it's an ACL injury, it gets a bit longer. It gets, you know, we're talking months. So yeah. He seems to think that it's an MCL hyperextension. Now, I wonder if the club, while maybe it has been scanned, I wonder if the club are weighing up their options, whether they get it via surgery, whether they go the surgery route for it, or whether they go the natural healing route. And it's something that I think they should do, because you know, it's worth trying to figure out if he can come back, because MCLs can, they're, you see it in the NFL an awful lot, and I always go back to that because it's a very high turnover injury game. You see it with running backs, they sprain their NCL or they hyperextend their knee like that, and some of them get surgery and they're out for the year, and then some of them don't, and they come back right as rain again within 6 weeks, you know, and it's miraculous stuff, you know. So yeah. I wonder if that's what the club are being slow about.
Yeah, look, we're second guessing as well, because we're being told what it is by certain people, but nothing from the club.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we don't know how bad it is. All we know is, as Pete Tandy is asking there, was Kamara going on international duty? Yes, he was. He was. He was called up, wasn't he?
No, it wasn't. Himself and Dina were both left out. Dina was called up to cover for the injury to Theo Hernandez, and then it was only once he was called up they found out he was injured.
He was injured. Okay. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
So I like, there's so much fake news going around the last few days. I've decided to tune out and stay out of it till I hear something.
There's a lot of, we were saying it beforehand, Pete, there seems to be a lot of catastrophe porn in the last couple of days, that like people are catastrophizing and everything is so negative, and that's fine. And Peter, that's fine. Yeah. But you know, we're seeing that stuff has been.
And you know what? It goes back to what I just said. If we'd have drawn at Man City, beaten Leicester, beaten Southampton, and we're on a roll, we wouldn't have this catastrophe porn going on. Yeah. It would be a case of, God, we're doing well. Okay, a little bit worrying if we're going to be without Dean, Kamara, Carlos, Cash. God knows how long these are going to take, and that's what everyone's worry is. You know, we're doing our best here to stay positive, but the moral
of the story is the style of play is too positive. You know, we can definitely agree with that one.
Well, the moral of the story is the backup. Has he got the backup to cover? He has a Swedish international to cover Luka Dean. He has Ashley Young, who, let's face it, has been brilliant since he came in for Matty Cash. But then our problem child, and our problem child since the championship, is that central midfield role. And
Dendonker
will come in. Nakamba might get a go. There's just no way of telling. But there's one thing it doesn't do. It doesn't free up John McGinn to do what he's doing tonight for Scotland. And that's leading the line in his probably most natural position, scoring goals, captain in his country, which is obviously not weighing on him like everybody says. It's weighing on him with Aston Villa. I don't think it is. I think he's just struggling in that position. We're struggling to hold on to the ball. As a result, he's it's kind of rubbing off on him, and nobody is capable of dragging us up by the bootstrings. You know, it's just a difficult situation at the moment because we can't get that midfield right.
Paddy, do I know what the biggest piece of catastrophe porn that was put out by some news outlet somewhere, I think it was in Poland, about Aston Villa, was that the Polish coach is baffled and the Polish coach can't remember the word that they used with, but he said that he's been not bemused, pissed off, I suppose, really was, I suppose that's the word I'm going to use. He was pissed off that Aston Villa aren't playing Jan Bednarak enough, yet Bednarak couldn't play against Southampton. And he signed like 2.5 days before the Man City game. So what does he expect us to manufacture games to play Jan Bednarek? Mm. But it just goes to show that when there's a kind of a cloud over the club, and there has been in the past couple of weeks, like other countries, other managers and stuff like that pick up on that. he probably had no idea that he couldn't play against Southampton. He probably had no idea that he was only signed a couple of days before the Man City game. And yet he chose to have a pop at Aston Villa. If he chose to have a pop at Aston Villa, we don't even know.
Did
if
he
true.
Have a pop? That's
I thought it was absolutely hilarious to read that on Twitter today. And I just went, look, that's exactly what happens, that when you're down in the gutter, there's people going to piss on you as well, you know. So all we can do is remember stuff like that when we're triumphantly charging up the league some way. So how later on over the course of the season. But yeah, poor old justice for Bednarek. Justice for Bednarek.
I'd like to thank Taiwan for...
I'm going to Google it.
I have a vague recollection of him being called up before the Southampton game.
Unless he was called up literally the day of the Southampton game.
He could have been, but that's in my head that he was called up. He wasn't in the initial squad, but was called up, as was Luca Dean on Monday.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Maybe I missed it, but he definitely wasn't named in I can only find here where it says he wasn't named in the first squad. I can't find anything there. Granted, how many seconds was that I googled Boubacar Kamara international call up just there? So when people say they do their own research, I hope it isn't as short as what I just did there, about 8 seconds worth of research. But I suppose either way, he's not going anyway because he's got a duff knee now for the next while. So I suppose, yeah, it's...
Do you want to hear something positive, Neil? How lean and mean did Diego Carlos look on Instagram yesterday? My God, that man is a beast.
He's like a Hereford bull.
He could only possibly pick up an Achilles or something similar injury because he's ripped in every other department that you can actually rip. Even his knees look like he has muscles on muscle. It's incredible.
Yeah, he looked like a bull. He actually did. He looked like the hind leg of a poly bull or something like that. You know, guys.
Not that I spend too much time looking at men's legs, but I've never seen legs like that. Never in my life have I seen legs like his. He's absolutely unbelievable athlete.
I'm actually here because I sent you guys a picture of it, and I'm going to try and pop it up on the screen for those who have not seen it, because it's freakish. It's like, you know, when you see cyclists and they're like maybe on week 3 of the Tour de France, and did you ever see the cyclists put pictures up on whatever social media site? And they're literally as lean and as pumped as you'll ever see. Now, whether it's pumped or whatever, I don't know. You can see the veins and everything. It's just freakish. It's like an anatomical kind of thing you'd see. I'm not going to say doll. What's the word I'm looking for? You know those things that doctors have. They bring you down. They go, here's where the muscle clicks into this, and this is where the tendon goes in here. And this, if anyone has ever done their ligament, their ACL before, like I have, that's what the doctor did. He brought me down this teaching aid or whatever to show me, and his leg looks like that. It's freakish. I have the thing there, but we can't put it up. It's going to take me too long, so just go look at it in his Instagram. It's absolutely freakish. So sometimes you've got to believe Steven Gerrard when he says stuff as well. You know, and he's hoping that he's going to be back after Christmas, and there was a lot of kind of questions about would he be able to do weight bearing exercises, would there be wastage and so on. He's already in the boot. We've already seen him do some, if I'm not mistaken, I think he had a video up or a story up of him doing some work in Poole already. So fingers crossed, that would be a huge shot in the arm for us to get somebody like him back early. And going back to the two boys we spoke about there, as I say, if Boubacar Kamara, if it is an MCL strain, maybe he's only out, maybe he's out for maximum 8 weeks or whatever the case is, if it doesn't need surgery. And same with Luca Dina, it's a stress fracture in his ankle. Stress fractures just usually require boots and rest. They don't require usually require any surgery, somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks. I was reading there that 2 weeks players can come back after stress fractures. Now, once again, I don't have MD or DR before my name, and it was only Dr. Google that gave me all that advice. But like, I think sometimes as well, when we put it into context, we've got 2 weeks here for this international break. I think the worst part of it is that we'll have a short run in then towards the with a lot of games towards the World Cup. Yeah. But potentially the World Cup could be coming at a really good time for us if we do have these injuries, albeit we still need to get points in that interim period when we do play the likes.
Well, it just depends on how quick these guys are going to come back, you know.
That's it, yeah.
When you look at who's out now, we're back to the bare bones of last season. That's what's getting me, with the exception of Philippe Coutinho, who's our new signing, but he was there last year. So it's worrying. It is, that midfield is worrying me. I'm not overly worried about our central defensive partnership. I think Konsa did okay the other day. I think we'll get him back to what he was. I'm saying that in hope more than anything else. But look, he doesn't become a bad player overnight. There's a lot of pressure there. There's an awful lot of pressure to keep his place. So hopefully the few ricks that he has, he's over them and can push on. There's very, very few, like, apart from the pinball that was played at times in midfield, you know, Ollie Watkins working hard. You know, we huffed and puffed on Friday. We got the goal. That's all we needed. We got the win. We got the 3 points on the board. It's just unfortunate that the two big performances we have, we've lost Diego Carlos and now we've lost Boubacar Kamara in succession of our two wins. So where do we go to from here? I don't know. You know, they're going to be strange times to see what he does with that midfield. You look at Scotland play that 4-1-4-1 and John McGinn just flourishing in that position, and you're just everybody's crying out just to see him just for a run of games.
I was looking at the positives.
I saw it there because John said he's going for a brace of points, and I was worrying how many is a brace of points, John?
This is two, isn't it?
That's what I would have thought, but like, if I was going to the local, I might have more than two. Anyway, I'd love to see John McGinn in that role for just a few games, just to see what he'd offer us. Would he get into that position where he's taking shots from inside the box for a change and scoring goals like he does for Scotland at will? He does. Now, don't get me wrong, the opposition isn't always as good as Ukraine, but good finish tonight in the end. So there you go.
One of the things with McGinn this season, I think the Clarton Blue podcast had something up, or something, the Mail had something up, that he's the most tackles in the final third of any midfielder for any Premier League team this season. Boubacar Kamara has something like the third most tackles in the defensive third, or it actually might even be the third most tackles of any midfielder, no matter where they are in the field.
I think in general. I refuse to go all in on McGinn. He's not having the best of times. People saying the captaincy is weighing on him. I don't think it is. I just don't think we can get that midfield system correct with the correct personnel in there. And like we played well for Man City defensively. We did very, very well. How we go forward without Boubacar Kamara is the worrying, worrying thing. Not worried about Augustinsson coming in. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll grow into it as well. And it will be no harm for him to get a brace of Premier League games, or how many that is. So look, we'll reserve judgment on everything else. But the middle of the park, again, is our problem child, because I think we stopped short of buying another. I think we needed one more in there.
I think the Donker is going to prove Neville deputy.
Oh, I'm sure. I've been a fan of Donker. Watching Den Donker, even that game I went to last year against Wolves, he was excellent. And once they got into their stride, he was absolutely excellent. What worries me is when they're not in their stride, he goes missing. So let him prove me wrong when we step out the next day against Leeds, because that's going to be a tough game. That's going to be not as tough as Bielsa ball, but it's going to be a tough game.
Paddy, I'm going to mention about the French elephant in the room here now. Freddie Guilbert, do you think he gets on the bench anytime soon for Aston Villa?
I think he's just been kept there in reserve, and it would probably take an injury to Ashley Young at this point to get him into the squad. I don't know what he does at right back. If Ashley Young did pick an injury without him in the squad, maybe he plays Konsa or Chambers there. I don't know. But we definitely have no other attacking fullback to call on. Not that I'm calling Ashley Young an attacking fullback. He's a lot more reserved than Matty Cash is. So, Freddie Guilbert has also played at left back. Might he be the one that gets the nod to sit in there if either of those guys?
Who's also played at left back, Paddy? John McGinn. Do you remember that game? John McGinn playing at left back.
Yeah,
that was in the Championship, wasn't it? Was it Bruce played him at left back? Was it? Or was it Dean Smith? I can't remember. Yeah.
Leighton said he's not even made the squad list. He has actually made the squad list.
There's a lot been going around over the last 2 weeks.
There's a lot of fake news, and that's why there's a lot of untrue things going around recently.
I backed off on
social media because I'm listening to a lot of rubbish talk. So, mind you, people tune in here to listen to us talk rubbish. So I can't really complain.
We talk rubbish with a smile on our face, Paddy.
We do. Yeah, it's a lot better than doing it with a scowl, anyway.
Exactly. Actually, Paddy, it's an interesting one there. You know, I've seen it. Somebody asked there, is Augustinsson, Simon asked, is Augustinsson like-for-like swap with Digne? Augustinsson is an attacking left back, but I don't think outside of the top six that you're going to find a more attacking left back than Luka Digne has been since Steven Gerrard came in. Augustinsson is... he's going to want to go forward. But I think the blessing in disguise for Luka Digne being injured, although I don't want him to be injured, that's not what I'm saying, is that we've been crying out for our fullbacks to stay a bit deeper. Ashley Young stayed deeper in the last game against Southampton. Luka Digne actually stayed a bit deeper as well. He wasn't as far forward. He wasn't the highest player on that left-hand side. Coutinho was further forward than him. And you could see that Coutinho had a small bit more space. He played a bit better. Played a bit better against for Southampton. Actually, I think that's probably been his best performance take out City the last day of the season. I think it's been his best performance since the last Southampton game for Aston Villa. So, you know, Digne was curtailed backwards a small bit. I think we'd see Augustinsson curtailed backwards a small bit more. Maybe by default and by mistake, we become more compact at the back four. Maybe then Dunker comes in. Maybe he starts playing the Dunker, Luis McGinn inside there with Jacob Ramsey, maybe a small bit further forward. Mm. I don't know. I'm reading a statistic here as well that Jacob Ramsey has the fifth most tackles of any central midfielder, tackles won of any central midfielder in the Premier League this season, and at 14, and Boubacar Kamara had 15. So I think there's a lot that goes on. Specifically, we kind of judge players an awful lot on their abysmal passing, which has to be said, and I think that's certainly what we can call John McGinn's passing has been really poor this season. I think that probably stands out more than maybe tackle winning or getting around the field and stuff like that. But we need our passing to be better in midfield, even more now that Boubacar Kamara isn't there, because he was able to cover serious ground. So the questions are out on that midfield again for the fifth time in five seasons.
Yeah. Neil Leighton again, he hasn't made me angry, he's made me hangry. Leighton, you can't be saying things like this when a man is on a diet. So now you have to come in and tell us what biscuits you're eating. Just so I can dream about eating these biscuits. Go on, let us know in the comments.
And also, let's not forget Matty Cash as well. I think at the time it was mentioned Matty Cash was 4 weeks out with a hamstring injury. We're in week two at the moment.
I think we'll see Matty Cash after the international break.
I think we will too. Because it was a hamstring.
And the positivity that he spoke with when he was talking about playing for Poland as well was this just came too soon. So I think he'll be back in there. But if he's not quite ready, I wouldn't be risking him either. I'd play Ashley Young, given that he's had two great runs of games.
And I wouldn't be surprised, and this might sound bonkers, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Ashley Young just shift over to the left-hand side. Yeah, I am saying that. This is Neil. I have not been kidnapped. This is not a hostage video. Okay, but I'm thinking that potentially, you know, it gives the option then to have maybe Ashley Young goes to the bench and can cover both sides. Who knows? But look,
Did we sign Augustinsson or sign him on loan?
Loan with an option to buy.
Well, then play him.
I think we do as well.
What's the point in having a Swedish international fullback on the team and not playing him? I know Sweden are not. I know they're not world beaters, but look, let's go and play the player. If he's going to be our player, play him. I don't get. How would that feel for a guy to be dislodged by 37-year-old Ashley Young playing?
Just googling to see. Yeah, he's 9 years younger than Ashley Young.
He's born July 85.
Okay. I'm April 85. So I always look, and that's probably why I'm so subconsciously so down on Ashley Young, is because I was thinking what could have been. I could still be playing. If it wasn't for those pesky kids and their naggins of vodka, I could still be playing.
I don't think you would have looked after your body quite as good as you got in there.
I didn't Friday night or Saturday night. Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. Look, I think, guys, that's actually going to do it. There isn't too much to talk about. What we might do is, we will come back over the weekend, maybe just after the weekend to, obviously, if anything breaks, we'll jump on. But we might come back. Oh, watch, Garth Brooks is in as well. This man was hot stepping it out and line dancing at Garth Brooks last weekend. Garth Brooks.
One of our regular listeners made me a bet today that he would donate 50 quid to the Aston Villa Foundation if I wore my Garth Brooks hat today. So there you go. Yeehaw.
I was waiting for somebody to chat in there to say that's the cowboy hat that Stephen Gerrard should be wearing or something like that. I don't know. I was expecting somebody to make a joke about cowboys anyway in the thing there. Just before we go, actually, because Tuan, you actually asked this question to me on the team sheet tantrum and on the post-match, and I only saw it afterwards because I was doing it on my phone. But just before we go, Paddy, can we talk about Cameron Archer? Wasn't even in the squad list for Southampton. Is he injured or just been sacrificed because Gerrard is scared of losing? I thought this is the best game for him to play in. I don't know, is he injured? But he wasn't included in the under-21 squad either.
I think he had a knock. I think he did have a knock. Mm. And that's why he didn't play. I'm open to correction, but I vaguely remember when the team was announced, one of the journalists, not one of the fake news guys, had said that it Cameron Archer had a knock. So I was more disappointed that it wasn't our proper striker up front. But anyway, there you go. Against his old team, he was nailed on to score goals.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, as I said, no, Cameron Archer isn't, like, there's no bomb squad or anything there for Cameron Archer. I think the fact that he wasn't named the England under 21 squad either probably goes to say that maybe there was just some sort of fitness concern for him or something along those lines, but nothing too serious from that point of view. Maybe we might see him called up mid-international duty for the England squad if he proves his fitness, or if there is any knocks within the team as well. I think that will tell us a small bit more, but guys, as always, thank you so much. Absolutely, really, thank you for joining us tonight. As I say, we will be back if anything breaks over the next couple of days. We'll be back with an international roundup after the Europa League or the Nations League games after the course of the weekend. I myself, the most important game that I can win in football, I will be watching this weekend, will be on Friday night, Ireland under 21s versus Israel under 21s. And I think it's going to be an absolute banger of a game. So that's the only game of football I want to watch this weekend. So after that, we will talk about anything Aston Villa
maybe we'll get the speak pipe open for the middle of next week maybe and take some questions.
Nobody left anything on speak pipe. Do you know what, let's do that. Give us a where's my speak pipe? Guys, if you want to talk about anything to do with Aston Villa, load up the voicemails. Anybody and everybody can leave a voicemail on speakpipe.com for the love of Paul McGrath Pod. We will do a podcast with your voicemails, because I meant to say that after the last game, didn't get any in. I'd love to get those questions that way, because sometimes the comments can be either I'll misconstrue them because of my 4-year-old reading capabilities, or maybe I might misread them. So can't really misread a voicemail. So get sending those in, and we will do a voicemail pod.
And hopefully we won't be talking about any more injuries from the international duty.
Fingers crossed. Exactly. Fingers crossed. Yeah. All right. So guys and girls, we will leave you, and we will, as always, love you and thank you so much for your time tonight. Stay safe, stay healthy, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.